We thank the Lord for being here. And I want to, first of all, thank Brother and Sister Selecki for coming way down in the deep south last month to Kennesaw, Arkansas.
Amen.
And was a blessing to us down there. I want to thank them for coming. They were such a great blessing. He brought a good message about scars. Has he ever talked to y'all about the scars in people's life and how they overcome them? Have you ever have to overcome? And he was telling about how many scars he had on his body. I was sitting there, it was like, he remembered wherever he got a scar, he remembered where he got it from. So I said, okay, well, but I'll never forget that message. I thank God it was a blessing. So the subject tonight is preparing for and recognizing your call. And it just, and the outline that he gave me talks about, there are many callings: teachers, preachers, singers, workers, storytellers, printers, evangelists, pastors, visitation, working with children, bus ministry, choir director, etc. And I wrote down the few that I have been involved in the church. And I think basically, I want to read this scripture in Proverbs, the 23rd division of Proverbs, and verse 7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And I think about whatever I've always done for the Lord, it was from the heart. And the heart, the things in your heart, no one knows but what's in your heart. God knows what's in your heart. But basically, if you look at what's in our heart is a door. And on the marking of the door, it's marked private. Because God only can see what's behind the door of your heart. You know, you can smile and you can be friendly, but God knows what's really in your heart. And so, in the church, since I've been in the church, I've always just followed my heart. Whatever I looked around and needed to see what needed to be done, I have been an usher in the church to greet the people as they come in. I was part of the tape ministry. Does anybody know what a cassette tape is? I used to handle the tape ministry and the cassette tapes and amen. And I've been a devotional leader. I lead devotion and the songs in the church. And I've also been a director of the choir, of the youth choir. I've done that too. So I've always done what I felt in my heart the Lord would have me to do. The blessing of a congregation is when you're in a congregation and it's an evangelistic congregation, so to speak, where you have the brothers and sisters reach out to the community. And I believe this is, matter of fact, I know this is an evangelistic congregation where you go into the nursing homes, and some may even go into the jail system and visit the sick when they're in the hospital. And so you just follow your the heart, the congregation, and that inspires you. And you tend to learn what you do best as you do that. So I started out, different ones started me in the ministry. I wasn't considered myself a ministry. I came in with some older brethren, and they took me to the train station. Amen. To bus stops and on buses and things, and we would pass out gospel tracts. Then they would take me to they'd get a loudspeaker, and we'd get on the corner, and we would preach to people as they walked by in crowded communities, shopping centers. We'd be passing out tracts and preaching Praise the Lord real loud on loudspeakers and everything. Amen. And so that's what started me in the ministry. I was going into the Audi home in our community where young men and young girls were incarcerated in jail for crimes that they had committed. And we would go in there. And so I was inspired. I was inspired by the chaplain at the jail system. His name, we called him Chaplain Rick. He was Chaplain Rick. And he was blind. I mean, he was blind. He was a blind man. But he had the keys to the jail. He had, and he would meet us at the door. And the chaplain, he would say, okay, is everybody here? Calvin, you here? Chris, you here? Everybody would be present. And the chaplain would say, okay, you ready to go? Let's go. And he would just walk through that jail. We'd be right behind him, a blind man. And when he got to the door, it was a big steel door. And he would unlock that door and take us to his office and get us started, give us some literature and things, and assign us different sections where we would go. And so these kind of things would inspire me to be a part of the ministry, to spread, to be a part of the ministry, to help people get to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I just, you know, it came to a place where it asked the question here. It says, how did you receive the call? When did you know it was God's will for you? Well, it was just there. I wanted to do it. When it came to pastoring, I've heard preachers say that they ran from God like Jonah did. But I wasn't running from God. I wanted to do it. And with that, the opportunity came. My wife is from Arkansas. And for 20 years, many years, we would visit, we would leave camp meeting here and go south to see her people. And there were a group of people down there, and they impressed me, and that they needed a pastor. They wanted a pastor. And so I took a burden for them. I took a concern for them. And so I could lead them into the truth. And so that's a long story, but that's how I got in Arkansas, to go down there and be a partner and try to raise up a congregation. And so the congregation, where I was from in Chicago, they supported me. That's the same congregation that Pastor Raines is from. He's the pastor there now. But the then-known pastor was Pastor Eula Bland. He since passed away to his reward. And so, but he supported me, and they supported me and gave me the right hand of fellowship. But I knew I wasn't going off into a strange land where I say goodbye to them. I didn't say goodbye. Hey, they were still in my life. My wife and I, we determined. We are still apart, pretty much. Amen. Our name is still on the saints directory. Amen. And so so I grew into my call by following my heart and trying to help people accept Jesus Christ. And you grow into your call. When you first start pastoring, I would like to say, if you think about pastoring, be sure that you be ready to be strong, because it's nice to be in a large congregation where if Brother Onion's not here, well, we got Brother Cucumber. He'll do it. But when you're in a small congregation, I had to be the plumber. I had to be the toilet cleaning man. I had to be the carpenter. I had to take care of church business with the bank. I had many hats, and I still got a lot of them hats, come think of it. I still got those hats. And so there's always something for a person to do in the house, in the family of God, in the house of God. You know, you'll find a place if your heart is here. If your heart is with God, amen, you will find a place. Amen. So, in basic reality, the heart is the reason of our success in our spiritual life. Your heart, in whatever you put your heart into, that's where you get your blessing. That's where you get your satisfaction, because you put your heart in it. It's the success of your spiritual life is from the heart. It's not about your talents, and I'm sure many of you have many talents. It's not your ability to do many things. You can do many things. Amen. You can, you know, I mean, you probably can set up a website and do all these different things, and you have a talent to play instruments. It's not how much education you got. Amen. God has room in his house for people that don't have much education. God lifts people up. He doesn't judge by how much education you have. Amen. It's not about how much understanding you have of doctrine or the Bible. It's all about, I want to do something for God from my heart. I want to pray. I want to live for God. I want to be a blessing. Amen. It's not how long you've been saved either. It's not how long you've been in the church. Amen. If you come in with your heart into God, amen, God will, the one scripture says that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. So it's not how long you've been. I mean, you may have got saved last night, but you are just as part of the church, and you're saved as anybody that's been saved 20 years. And God can use you. Amen. So it all boils down to what's in your heart. So the question is, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? It's always a why do I want to sing? Why do I want to preach? Why do I want to lead devotion? Is it because I want to be seen of people? Is it because I want to be patted on the back and all like that? Why? God sees your motive. Amen. What is your motive behind? Because I want to, is it because you want to outshine somebody else? I can do it better than him. But no, whatever you do, do it from your heart to the glory of God. And God sees what you do, and he'll accept what you do, because it's coming from your heart. Amen. I'm thinking of this scripture here in Mark the 7th chapter and the 21st verse. Through the 23rd verse, it says, "From within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. These things come out of the hearts of men: adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." In the people's heart is going to come out. Amen. So that's why you have leaders. You have leaders, godly leaders that are an example. Amen. To help you guard your heart. Don't let evil things get in your heart. Amen. Keep God in your heart. Amen. It's a blessing to be a part of the congregation. Here in the 111th Psalm, the Bible says, praise, the verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Amen. You are so blessed. Many of you may come from different larger congregations, or this is a large congregation, or smaller congregations. Everybody plays an important part in the congregation, whether it's even small. Amen. Your presence means something. Your faithfulness means something. Amen. If you're not here, somebody misses your presence. It's a blessing. So just follow your heart. Don't compare yourself with anyone else. Do what you can do. God has given you a talent. God has given you a gift. Follow what you can do. You will see more people. You will learn that it's always somebody that can do something better than you or have more education than you. But that's okay. You do your part and be faithful in your position and wait and watch and see how God will bless you. We, in the Church of God, we don't put down nobody. We always, a saying that we say sometimes, it's no big I's and little U's. Amen. We're all in the family of God, and we're all, amen, want to be used of God. Every member of my body has an important part. I don't even know how much I use my baby finger today. But if it's not there, I'm going to miss it. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. I don't even feel my baby toe. I feel the big toe, but I don't feel the baby toe. But if the baby toe is not there, I think I'd miss it. So every one of you have a very important part. So I want you to be encouraged, preparing for and recognizing your call. Be faithful. That's how you prepare. Be faithful. Be true to God. Serve God with all your heart. That's the greatest preparation of all, is that I stay with the Lord. I remember I was on these grounds many years ago, and an older man, he's gone into eternity now. He was 80-something years old, and I never will forget his words. He said, when I was about 19 or 20 years old then, he said, "Stay with the Lord, Brother Foster. Stay with the Lord." Amen. And I'm glad I did. I have never regretted staying with Jesus, staying with the Lord. So that's my encouragement to you. Put your heart in God and stay with God. Amen. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. God bless y'all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.